Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to hear Chad Hershberger on with us today. Chad always does a great job, as obviously does Sarah, as does Matt. We're very fortunate to have some great, great personnel here that really do a great job of covering news up and down the valley. High school football roundtable in just a few moments, but first of all, our play-by-play call of the day. Steven Strasburg was on the mound yesterday and was brilliant and backed up by a grand slam late.
One ball, one strike, Davis sets. The kick and the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Right center field. Hap going back. Way back at the wall. He leaps and it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Goodbye. It's a grand slam home run for Michael Taylor. Into the basket in right center field. With the wind blowing in on a day when no one could hit it out. Michael Taylor is in a grand slam here at the top of the eighth inning. And it's now the Nationals 5 and the Cubs nothing. Unbelievable!
When that left the bat of Michael A. Taylor yesterday, I thought, and the way Happ, because Happ, remember, Happ had come in as part of a double switch. And the way he was circling around, I thought, well, this is going to be extra bases. They'll get three out of this. And then all of a sudden, I looked up and said, boy, that's really carrying. And it went into the basket. And I thought, oh, my goodness, it is a home run. 5-0, the Nationals won it. The fifth game is tonight, and it'll be opposite the Eagles and Carolina, which should be a heck of a game as well. All right. Let's get to our high school football previews. WMLP. Milton will be at Montoursville coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime on WMLP. The outstanding voice of Milton football is Steve Williams. Steve, welcome back. It's always great to hear you, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. Good to hear you again, too.
All right, so let's get to the matchup with Montoursville. Montoursville struggled a bit this year as well, which is not unexpected considering everything. How do you view this as an opportunity for Milton?
Well, I think it's a huge opportunity. I've watched high school football for long enough to know that, you know, a game can destroy a season or a game can make a season and carry over. And I think that's the kind of game that we're going to see. Both teams have yet to win a game. So, of course, it's important for the seniors of those two schools to not have to go to the 30th class reunion saying, hey, we never won a football game our senior year. So that's going to be big. But, you know, as I look at Montoursville, they're about 66% pass, 33%, or excuse me, 66% run, 33% pass, yet their yardage is about 50-50. And they don't have a long passing game. I think their longest pass from scrimmage was 25 yards. So it's just kind of a little bit of a longer running game that Milton has to deal with. Whereas Milton, who has shown some sparks for their running game at times, nothing consistently, has been able to pass the football, and I think they're going to continue to do that against Montoursville.
And for Montoursville, this is a 180 reversal from what they've had the last 3 years. The fact that, because you and I both know, the last 3 years, they had a passing attack.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, with Bryson Musina, and then they had, you know, the Ott brothers running the football, so they were multidimensional. They had some great receivers. And, you know, now these kids all of a sudden have to go from, you know, being in the playoffs, going deep in the playoffs, to waiting to the seventh game of the season to even try and win a football game. You know, that's tough, too. I mean, that might be worse than a team that doesn't really expect to lose, continuing to lose. You know, these kids are used to winning, and all of a sudden they're getting beaten up.
I want to ask you about the running attack. You know, obviously, Milton throws the ball, and we both know they throw it really well. But you try to sprinkle in and mix in a run every once in a while. Have you been surprised at all, Steve, that every once in a while they haven't caught somebody with the run because they're expecting pass?
They did last week, actually. Alex Garcia had a 61-yard run from scrimmage for a touchdown, which is great, but the thing is that he only had like 83 yards total, so he didn't have a whole lot of extra yards other than that one run. They've got two halfbacks that show some promise. They just need to get some run blocking up front. They don't have that. You're not seeing the holes open up front. And, you know, Alex is the kind of guy that runs between the tackles. They'll try and get him outside. He has trouble getting his shoulders square upfield, and that's not good. He runs best between the tackles. The other guys, a little bit more of a misdirection, kind of slashing runners, but they just don't have that blocking form right now.
Steve, always a pleasure. Look forward to the broadcast tomorrow night, 6:30 the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff, Milton at Montoursville. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, let's bring in Zach Showers now to talk about Sealands Grove at Central Mountain. Zach, rumors are running rampant. You're now starting to check field position because of this show.
Yeah, talking to Sean, I said, I guess I need to watch what I text him because you never know when it's going to end up on the broadcast. So,
You finally figured it out.
Oh, you guys. All right, so let's get to it. Now, Sealands Grove at Central Mountain. Time goes by, you want to be better in playing your best football. Is Sealands Grove starting to play its best football?
They are. There's no question. I think the Schick loss a couple weeks ago was a big wake-up call for them, a game that I think most people expected them to win, and coming out of there was definitely tough, losing by 2 points. You just get the sense being around the team the past few weeks that the team's really buying into the coaching staff. They're getting better. Defensively, they've only given up 160 yards per game the past week, just shutting down a lot of big plays and continuing to just make progress in every area of the game.
Did that loss in some ways help the listening happen?
I think absolutely. Coming into the season, everybody knew Sealands Grove was loaded. There was a lot of returning starters, especially offensively. You thought big plays were going to happen all over the field. So anytime you're dealing with high school kids, you start to think you're really good. And while this team is really good, there's no question I think they needed to just come down to earth a little bit and come back to the basics. And a lot of that's just really started defensively as they've continued to improve and just really play shutdown football.
All right, give me some keys in the matchup with Central Mountain when they go over there tomorrow night.
Central Mountain is replacing Justin Neff, a guy that you've probably heard of who now is a preferred walk-on at Penn State, and he accounted for roughly 70% of their offense last year. So it's been tough replacing him. The quarterback, senior Austin Carson, has actually done a very good job of replacing them. He's been a little better through the air, almost 800 yards passing and almost 500 yards rushing. So it really starts with shutting down him, very similar quarterback and scheme to what they saw last week against Mifflinburg. And after that, I think the next 2 weeks when you're playing games that you're heavily favored in are just to stay healthy, continue to cut down on penalties, and just show improvement. Watching film, you see a lot of plays that are pretty nitpickety at this point of the season, but I think the expectation is this team continues to improve, even though they've shut teams down the past few weeks and they're still averaging over 400 yards a game. So across the board, just continue to improve in all facets of the game so you can set yourself up for a nice run over the last couple weeks of the season and into playoffs.
Zach, always a pleasure. Appreciate your time. Great job.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good one.
You too, Zach. Thanks so much. Zach Showers joining us. Sealands Grove at Central Mountain. 7 o'clock the kickoff tomorrow night. 6 o'clock the airtime on Eagle 107. And don't forget, Sean has the area's premier postgame show on Eagle 107. Lewisburg at Mount Carmel. Greg Wetzel, always great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Hey, great to hear you too, Steve.
All right. So when you look at Lewisburg, let's get to the trenches. When you look at trench warfare for Lewisburg, both sides of the ball, what are you seeing right now?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of moving, changing parts. They've lost both starting guards. They've lost one defensive lineman. So they're substituting some guys in, which is going to benefit them in the future. But this year, it's something that's really hurting them. Offensively, they're a little slow off the ball. But what is happening to them right now is they at least now have learned the scheme of the coach, the new coaching staff, and they know who they're blocking. So offensively, they've improved over the last several weeks. Defensively, Defensively, they're doing a pretty good job controlling the line of scrimmage against every team they play. It's maybe the back seven, back eight that are having some struggles with tackling and stuff like that.
Are you surprised at that? Because to me, Greg, you know, you and I both know how practices are today. It's the games where suddenly the tackling really gets a lot better. Are you surprised this deep into the season it's still an issue?
Well, I am to a degree, but they've had to move. I mean, they've lost two cornerbacks on defense. They've lost two linebackers on defense.
Huge.
So that's a huge thing, especially at the high school level. There's just not a lot of depth on a high school team like that. So they're playing kids right now in those positions that probably would have been playing a lot of JV ball, but now they're playing varsity ball.
Interesting point, because I think when we talk about cohesion, everyone always thinks of the offensive line right away. I've always felt your back seven defensively needed cohesion. And is that where they're suffering?
Yes, that's exactly where they're suffering. Yeah, last week against Danville, they put pressure on the quarterback, but their back seven, back eight, because they play a 3-5, their back eight were not making the tackles. Danville had 5 touchdowns of 50 yards or more last week. So that was a huge, huge issue.
All right. So what are the keys in the Mount Carmel game tomorrow night on the road?
Besides coming out healthy, the keys probably are going to be to stop Jonathan Ayers. He is right now in our area, Susquehanna Valley here. He is leading the area in rushing yards. He has 8 rushing touchdowns. He's rushed for 823 yards in the year. And he's played quarterback for Mount Carmel the last 2 years. So this is his first year as a starting halfback. They have another halfback that last week ran for 175 yards. So they have a really good running attack. And that's what Lewisburg is going to have to do, shut down their running attack.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, 6:30 will be the airtime. Homecoming at Shikellamy tomorrow night as they take on Mifflinburg and the esteemed play-by-play voice. The award-winning Kevin Herr now joins us.
Wonderful to be with you, Stephen.
All right, so Jersey Shore last week. It was obviously a big win for them to get. What kind of confidence is this team playing with right now?
Well, after the second half last week, I think you're going to see a team come out Friday night that is unbelievably confident. And I don't mean that in an overconfident sort of way. For the first time in a long time, Shikellamy came out and dominated a second half in a game that they were actually behind and really struggling. They were really struggling to stop Tome up the middle. He was averaging 5 and 6 yards a carry in that second quarter, and just they were blowing holes open up front. Shikellamy made a couple of adjustments in the second half, and his numbers were gone. He went from about 100 yards in the first half to 20 yards in the second half. Huge adjustment. And to be down on the road in a place they haven't won since 2012, including 2 massive losses a couple of years ago and one in the playoffs that cost them their season, you know, it was really easy for this team to get down early on after being down 14-0 with just about 5-10 minutes gone by in the game.
All right, so now you're looking at, you know, what works. Let's get to the trenches. What is working well in the trenches on both sides of the ball for Shikellamy?
Well, a lot of teams are really struggling with the way Shikellamy spreads you out. I mean, this is a team that's running shotgun with a running back, left or right of the quarterback. They'll give it to the running back. They'll have the quarterback keep it from time to time. They'll bring guys in motion from the slot. They've even brought wide receivers from the far side of the field in motion. Sometimes they hand it off, sometimes they don't. It is really really, really difficult on a linebacker on linebackers on the opposing team to try and figure out what this Shikellamy team is going to do. They have so many plays that play off of every single play. Every play has at least two or three different plays that play off of it. So it's really, really tough for a team to try and react to what's happening without overreacting.
All right, so what are the keys now against a team like Mifflinburg tomorrow night?
Well, this would be a game that some people would think would be one that they'd overlook. Mifflinburg has struggled a little bit, moving the ball, averaging about 4 yards a play. But this game is for the Heartland Conference, and Shikellamy's looking for their first ever championship outright in the Heartland Conference. They've shared it before, but they've never had a conference championship. So the thoughts of them overlooking a team like Mifflinburg, to me, are completely gone, especially with how well they played a week ago against Jersey Shore. They're going to come out, they're going to attack this team, and I know that Coach Tilford and his staff have been talking about this. The last three games of the season all have meaning. It's not that you're racing for a playoff spot, but this game means you're going to win the Heartland Conference. The next two games, as you've said with Penn State, are kind of like playoff games in individual weeks because they would like home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This team has never had home field advantage throughout the playoffs and won the conference championship. For this team to do that, that would be considered pretty much a sweep of some of your goals when you pick things out in August at the first practice. That would be two of the three big goals that they've had every year. The third one would be to win the district title, which would have to happen in a couple of more weeks and continue on. But I really think this team is ready for this game, and they will not overlook a team like Mifflinburg. Although I will say one thing, Mifflinburg, with Mason Breed at linebacker, is one guy they're going to have to keep an eye on. He has 7 tackles for a loss this year, including 4 sacks, forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. He's one of the guys that is going to have to play a really solid game and lead this Mifflinburg defense if they want to come up with a win.
All right, Sean, time now for you to relate the story of the week.
How about this? Get back from lunch this afternoon. Kevin says you'll never guess what's happening today. Saying, yeah, we have a very important game 5 tonight in Major League Baseball. You have the Eagles involved with one of the biggest games of the weekend in the NFL. And he's like, no. The 2018 IndyCar schedule's out.
And that's right. Schedule release day.
Okay, why don't you go watch Speed Channel? Oh, wait. They're not covering it. There's no such thing as speed anymore.
Welcome back to the Portland race. Portland coming back on the schedule. Listen, all I was worried about was when's the Pocono race, so I had it booked on my calendar, and I'm good to go.
In your water cooler, is it actually Smirnoff?
No, just in my office.
Nobody reacts this way. Nobody.
I love IndyCar. I've always loved IndyCar.
Hey, Sean, did we come up with a count, by the way?
Guess what? Your number was what?
20.
I had 5.
Okay.
20 and 5?
He had 5.
Oh, I don't even want to ask.
He had 5. 20. Mic drop. Wow. Walk off.
What? 5
you,
what?
You did it. You
I did it. Boom.
You what? Won. You won. Boom what? Shakalaka.
Wait, what was this? I missed this. 5 what? What was over under?
I owe you dinner, Sean. I owe you dinner.
We talked about earlier this week how many times during your Shikellamy preview you'd mentioned the word I to evolve it around you.
Oh, really?
I think.
Are you guys stuck on that
I believe.
Again? You're asking my opinion. You were asking my opinion, so I was giving you that.
I had 5, and guess what? 5.
I mean, Steve Williams, Zach Showers, Greg Wetzel, I think they combined for 0, didn't they? They talked about the team, right?
Under 5. Yeah. 3 combined under 5.
Yeah. One guy had 5.
Still stuck on that. Here's a guy that begs Matt to make it as the play-by-play call of the week. We don't get that.
I'm not going to deny that. I did. Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but I did.
I leave Thanks. One day.
Yeah. No. I would have begged you, too.
You know how many times Johnny Holiday's asked?
I'm no Johnny Holiday.
And he still told me he's no Kevin Herb. All right. By the way, I had a really nice talk with Cale Sanderson today.
Uh-huh.
I did. No, I for about, I don't know, interviewed him for 5 minutes and probably spent another 10 minutes chatting with him.
Did he see what you saw?
No, actually, your name came up.
Yeah. Is he? Listen, he's still got, my kid's got 3 years of eligibility left. I mean, actually four.
No, once again, it was in with a lot of different people. There's always this combination of words: your name and restraining order. Steve, that's still in effect, right? I said, I believe so.
You have to admit, though, if Kale Sanders walks in your room as your parent of a wrestler, it's like, okay, I don't care what you have to say. Just give me the paper. We'll sign it now. There's no discussion. He just goes. It's automatic. If he were to walk in your room, in your living room, it's an automatic sign the paper now.
Well, things a lot of people don't have to worry about. All right, so.
Including me.
Although Benton Zane Rutherford is actually the focus of this piece. So it'll be on November 9-10 on Unrivaled in the Roar segment.
Cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, that's what it was about. So the interview with Kale was about Zane, and Zane was, two of them were just tremendous talking about that. And you know, I told him, I said, you know, there's another famous person that grew up in Benton.
We were not confused. There at the same time. We were not there at the same time.
He seemed confused.
I grew up in a suburb anyway, so it doesn't count.
Actress Frances McDormand, she's a Benton native.
That's yes, true. She is.
She
yes.
sure is.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good, Sean.
Yep.
That's actually who I meant. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment.
I know her.
You know her?
No, I don't. I'm kidding. I did that to get a rise out of you. I don't know her.
Are we getting closer to 20, Sean?
Closer than five.
Hey, here's a lesson, gentlemen.
I just want to know if I'm closing the gap.
You are.
Here's the lesson, gentlemen.
You cut it in half.
Always take the over.
He did.
Oh, I did, believe me. I did. I mean, there aren't many people that freely admit they're practicing how to close the game on Friday night.
I have not said that. I have not said I'm practicing how to close the game,
Sean,
on Friday night.
Sean, can you confirm or deny my statement?
I do not recall that conversation.
I have to rewind that. I have to check.
Now, I might have thought about it, but I don't think I shared it with anybody yet.
Oh, you've thought of it for sure.
I have thought about it.
At least.
I'm not going to deny I haven't thought about it. But, Steve, I'm not as good on the cuff as you are. I mean, that call on last Friday, that was as good as it gets for me. I know my limitations.
So you're mailing it in for the rest of the season.
That's it. I'm not going to outdo that one. That's as good as it gets for me.
I mean, because at the end of the broadcast, when they play Do You See What I See, I thought that was kind of clever. A star, twinkles in the night.
I mean, I never see a play happen like I saw that one. I mean, it was so much fun to actually watch the whole thing develop. I actually could see that happen. It never happens to me. Happens to you all the time. I've heard you. You see it happening all the time. It never happens for me.
How close are we to 20 now?
That's it.
That might have done it.
Yep.
Hey, by the way, everybody at the luncheon was really thrilled that you finally made it. All right.
There were a few people that came up to me and said, it's nice to see you again. It's nice to know that you're still here.
Sean?
And everybody walks up to me, Sean, you work full-time, right? Yeah. It's like, Josh, you work full-time, right? Yep, second shift. I go, Mike, you work full-time, right? I got a full-time job. We're here.
I'm a busy guy. I'm in demand.
I think I just won. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment.
Blackjack.
Okay. Blackjack!
By the way, Mike, that was Mike the dropped. Best one ever, right there. That nothing beats blackjack. I've been waiting for an opportunity to use that because it's so good.
Oh, that's Dick Girardi's.
I know. I will freely give him credit for that, too.
By the way, Sean, how is Deb doing? I wanted to know. All right.
You're on the board.
Final half hour of the broadcast extravaganza, as only we can do it on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Having trouble trying to figure out what new vehicle to buy?
Stop!
SMC has all your bases covered.
Compare Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai,
all at the dealer who has been satisfying more customers
for over 100 years.
53 Ford F-150s starting at $23,994.
Sunbury Motors has your compact SUVs covered.
46 Ford Escapes starting at $19,925.
Take 3112 off all 17 Hyundai Tucsons.
Kia Sportages start at just $23,553.
SMC has your mid-size SUV in stock.
Right now, 2018 Kia Sorentos start at $24,999
with 21 Sorentos to choose from.
Take up to $49,49 off 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sports
and up to $5,000 off a Lincoln MKX.
Sunbury Motors has all your bases covered for your next new vehicle.
Go to sunburymotors.com to compare your next new Ford, Lincoln, Kia, or Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors, satisfying more customers,
selling more cars.
A tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Of course, here we would do the sports bozo of the day. And when it comes to this, this is actually going to be a topic of conversation because Urban Meyer has picked up on the comments of Chris Peterson last week about all the night games that they're playing. And when you hit, this will be the third consecutive road night game in conference for Ohio State this year. They played at Indiana to open the season at night. That should not have been a big deal, by the way. It's not that far of a trip, and not only that, you're not in class on a Thursday night. The next one was at Rutgers. You're like, all right, that's a night game? All right. And then, of course, they've got this game at Nebraska coming up Saturday on FS1. So he brings up an interesting point. But I'd also like to point out that with his interesting point also brings some additional analysis. The first night game they played, it's before Labor Day. Okay, so classes are out of session that weekend anyway. And you've got 9 days until your next game. That's one. Rutgers, all right, I can see the argument there. This game in Nebraska, like, wow, they're going to get back at 4:30. But they're off next week. He didn't mention that part. Ohio State is a bye week. Now, he has a legitimate point, and it's a point that I've made before. I was talking about basketball last year. Remember, Sean, I talked about those two trips to Wisconsin and Nebraska. They were both 9 o'clock starts on a Tuesday night where the basketball team got back between 3 and 4 in the morning. And, of course, you're expected to be at class on Wednesday at 8 a.m. if you have an 8 a.m. class. So it's a legitimate point. But here's the problem you have. The problem you have is as follows. Between Fox, ESPN, and BTN, you know, CBS does not come into the equation here because CBS is only on for the basketball package. Okay, so it's BTN, Fox, CBS. Three different partners. All of them have poured a lot of money at the Big Ten to carry games. Correct?
Correct.
You have to have an expectation of what to get for your money. And primetime games are critical. And it's not as if Fox has the choice this week, so Fox gets the one primetime Big Ten game. Or ESPN gets the first choice this week, they get the one Big Ten nighttime game. No. Fox has a night opening. BTN is a night opening. ESPN is a night opening. They all have 7:30 time slots. They all do. They all have 3:30 time slots. They all have noon time slots. And they want return on the buck.
Well, the only way to get return on the buck is to get ratings. Who are the three schools in the Big Ten that are going to deliver really good ratings in prime time? Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Those are the three that are going to deliver ratings. You say, well, what about Wisconsin? Wisconsin will if they're playing one of those three teams. Michigan State will if they're playing one of those three teams. Nebraska will if they're playing one of those three teams. It has to be the schools I mentioned. Wisconsin, really, really good football. Iowa, and Iowa would fall into this category. Iowa, Nebraska, Michigan State. Okay? So those four schools, if they play each other, won't get the great rating. But as really good teams, if they play, especially Wisconsin, if they play the three in the East, one of them, boom. Just by having the presence on the other side, there's your jump start to a great rating. And for TV, whether it's ESPN, Fox, or BTN, they're looking to garner a rating. They've already paid millions of dollars. They have to recoup that in advertising. They need to go to advertisers and say, look what kind of draw that we have. Well, who's the draw? The draw is Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Those are the draws in no particular order. Look, there are certain national programs that are the draw. Alabama, Clemson, maybe to a point, Georgia, to a point, Texas. May not be great, but they're national. Oklahoma to a point, Notre Dame, I don't care what their record is, USC, Stanford maybe, Florida State to a point, not so much Miami anymore, Washington a little bit, but Chris Peterson's talking about, hey, look, every time we turn around, we're playing a 7:30 game, so we're going to be in the 10:30 time slot for ESPN. Should be pointed out that Kirk Herbstreit, who rebutted that, did say, hey, look, you know, thank ESPN. And he's right in some ways because years ago the Pac-12 was not on ESPN and you had to find Pac-12 games. Well, now, I don't know about you, Sean, but I watch a fair amount of Pac-12 games because that's the late game. It's a really interesting dynamic. I believe the SEC limits CBS to 5 appearances. So Alabama, the max they can be on CBS is 5 times in the regular season. I don't know if the Big Ten has to do that or if they have to sit back and put in something about, look, you can't have two road... Because what Urban Meyer's complaining about is not home night games. He's complaining about road night games. Now, the first one, okay, at Indiana. Okay, that's a Thursday night before Labor Day. And the flight back to Columbus is approximately 35 minutes. So you can scratch that one off. At Rutgers. Got you all the way on that one. I understand completely. You got to go to Jersey. It is, you know, if you're flying back, which they are, it is not a short trip from Piscataway up to wherever you want to go. Newark would probably be the, you know, and you got to go through security and so forth. You're going to get back at, even on a trip like that, at 3 in the morning. Nebraska, no question. They're not going to get back till about 4:30 in the morning Eastern time. But what he didn't tell you is they have a bye week. So his statement is factual. If you take a moment, and it doesn't really take long, to dig in a little bit deeper, it's not as big an issue as he claims it to be. But it is always an issue that is worth considering. So I will give him that point. And for Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, those three schools do have to be on guard for the number of night road games that they are playing. But from the network's point of view, can't blame them at all. They're looking for return. They've invested millions of dollars into this. This is not, hey, here's $100, we're going to do your game. Millions. They need a return. They need a rating. They need advertisers. So they want to put on what they perceive to be the most attractive game possible. Penn State's about to play its third night game of the year, but two of them have been at home.
That's interesting with the SEC on CBS TV package that you have a limit of. Let's say you're Alabama, you can only be on there a maximum of five times. I wouldn't think with the Fox deal with the Big Ten, there's a limit per team. Well, I didn't hear anything about that when the story broke last year that Fox got the expanded TV coverage.
And again, this is regular season, so
regular
it doesn't include
season.
The championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't include the championship game or anything like that. What's interesting is Penn's the Fox package. Penn State's got through half the season. They haven't appeared on Fox once. And they're not going to with Michigan either. Their first Fox appearance is going to be the Ohio State game at 3:30 on the 28th. Now, we'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. But it's interesting. Penn State has not made a Fox TV appearance yet.
Yeah, so far they've been on ABC three times. Not ESPN, but ABC three times.
Right.
Yeah.
Three times, what, twice on...
BTN.
Twice on BTN.
Yeah, and then
no,
one.
I think, no...
yeah, Indiana was BTN, I think.
I knew that.
Yeah, and
Georgia State
was BTN, and then
Akron was ABC.
Yes, and Pitt ABC, was ABC. Pitt was ESPN. Or no, wait.
No, Pitt was ABC.
That's right. Pitt was.
ABC. I think it's 4-2 ABC.
So four on ABC already.
Right.
Wow.
Four on ABC, two on BTN, zero on Fox in the opening half of the season, and it'll go to 5-2. ABC with the game a week from Saturday. But Penn State has not yet made a Fox appearance.
I can't remember the last time this early in the first half of the season this many games was on nationwide ABC TV.
Well, but again, they're in the top five right now, third.
Mm-hmm.
They're a contender, and they happen to be one of those names. And Penn State is a name program that's going to draw eyeballs to the TV set. For example, let's give Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State is a really, really good program. Right? So let's establish that right away. Really, really good program. But no matter how much they win, they still don't have the national cachet that Texas does, even though Texas, record-wise, is struggling compared to Oklahoma State. Texas is still going to draw more eyeballs to the TV set than a really good Oklahoma State team. Texas is still going to draw more eyeballs to the TV set than a really good TCU program. Long-standing. You know, I thought as time went, Sean, and I was thinking about this in NFL terms. Let's take the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are what? It's what, their 25th season? 24th season? 20, something like that? So, I mean, they start playing in
95 or so. Yeah.
Yeah,
my
23rd season.
Yeah, my first Steelers game was Steelers Jags in 96 in the Three Rivers. Yep.
Right. So, 93. So, this is their 23rd season along with Carolina, the 23rd season. So, they're not babies anymore. And I always thought that there'll be a certain point where brand name didn't matter, it was just who was good. No. Even to this day, the Dallas Cowboys draw. The Green Bay Packers draw. The Pittsburgh Steelers draw. It's still the kingpin teams with long-standing fan bases and national fan bases that are the ratings draw. It doesn't matter. Hey, Cam Newton's great. Carolina's great. You're like, hey, great. Where's the Dallas game? It's that has not really changed.
And my mom's getting up there in age, and she's like, why are there so many Steeler games on in prime time? Well, it's not because it's my team, my favorite team. It's because they draw. The network wants, they want numbers. They need numbers.
And they need it more than ever. Federal appeals court has lifted an injunction that blocked a six-game suspension for Zeke Elliott, and it clears the way for the NFL's punishment over domestic violence allegations. Wow. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right. right. The starting pitchers tonight have been announced for the fifth and deciding game between the Cubs and the Nationals. It's going to be Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, and Gio Gonzalez is going to get the ball tonight for the Nats. And no Ben Zobrist in the lineup tonight. John Jay, Chris Bryan, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, Albert Almora, Addison Russell, Jason Hayward, Javier Baez, and Kyle Hendricks. And for the Nats, Trey Turner, Jason Wirth, Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, Daniel Murphy, Anthony Rendon, Matt Waiters, and Michael Taylor and Gio Gonzalez.
Something about last night's game, though. I mean, you know, two guys you didn't even hear it. I mean, didn't make an impact in last night's game was both Bryce Harper and Jason Wirth. Jason Wirth has really tailed off.
Yeah, he is struggling. He is struggling, but he'll be in the number two hole tonight playing left field. Harper, of course, in the number three hole playing right field. Now, remember, Harper hit the big home run in game two, a game the Nats really, really had to win. Eagles and Panthers tonight. Now, this is quite a Thursday night football matchup. Here we go, Eagle fans. I mean, you've got a team that is rolling right now, and they got a national showcase tonight. And now, with Zeke Elliott, with the door open to a six-game ban, the Eagles can make hay in the division, potentially. This is big. A big one tonight. This game is in Charlotte tonight at 8:25. It is on, as Pat O'Brien would say, CBS. So you get Tony Romo telling you before the play what the play is. Michael Jordan. Super teams mean the other 28 teams are going to be garbage. This is an interview, by the way, with not Sporting News or ESPN or Sports Illustrated. It was actually an interview with Cigar Aficionado. Says you're going to have one or two teams that are going to be great and another 28 teams that are going to be garbage. Or they're going to have a tough time surviving in the business environment. There you go. I was listening to a promo today. The NBA season's coming up. And the promo said, and the Houston Rockets have loaded up to make a run at Golden State. I'm sitting there like, going, are you serious? I know you're trying to promote the product, but are you serious? You're still a couple bricks shy of a load over there.
Yeah, well, they got more than one guy that wants the ball down there. That's just going to be interesting to see when that blows up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dwayne Wade reunited with his buddy back in Cleveland.
Well, you know what? When you've got 30 teams and for 29, the key to them is somebody else getting an injury. All right.
But I can't wait today to see how the Sixers are going to do. That's going to be fun to see.
I predict they will be no better than 500.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.